Anybody get healed? Yeah? Wow. Come on. What? So where's your...
It's at zero. I was amazed. I was walking around.
Come on. That's awesome. Did you have some? Well, yeah, what? Nerve pain in your arms? Uh-huh. Come on. Just left. That's awesome. This is it. That's awesome. She said she came here this morning and saying, I'm going to come forward and get prayer and need healing. And that's good. Did you have something else? Yeah. Uh-huh. Come on. That's good. Awesome. Well, it's good to be here in church. Can you turn my voice down just a tiny bit more? I feel like I'm being quiet. I'll be louder. Good. All right. Just two announcements. Read your bulletin. There's all kinds of good stuff going on. Just to say a couple things first. Andrea has taken over the nursery and handling, scheduling people in the nursery. And if you are interested in helping out there, connect with her. It's just a wonderful ministry to just take care of our little guys and while we all get to come to church. And so, and then also she's asked if you have the opportunity or you can donate diapers. They need just to have diapers in there for obvious reasons. If you can do that, it's an ongoing need in the nursery. So if you are out and about and you think about it and then grab some diapers and take them to the nursery. And then also, I know we missed, Jenny, we missed your birthday last week, didn't we? Oh, well, we put it in the bulletin this week. So we got it. It's Dick Ashley's birthday too, and Barb Skinner's birthday. So happy birthday, you guys. Yeah, happy birthday. Anyway, there's lots of really good stuff in here. Check that out. Ferris worked really hard on it. And yes, it's Nay's birthday. Well, we couldn't go a week without missing somebody, so I'm glad we at least were consistent. Happy birthday, Nay. Over there at the Performing Arts, a Christmas concert. Who's putting on a Christmas concert? Community Choir Christmas concert. At, what did you say? 3:15 today. At 3:15, Christmas concert. It's free. I'm getting information coming in. If you want to know about what's going on, ask Annie. She apparently knows what's going on. And she'll fill you in. Somebody knows what's going on. With our powers combined, we'll get somewhere. All right. Ephesians. Get your Bibles. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. I got, Roger gave me this book this morning. Roger, did you see that it says Ephesians on the, where are you? It says Ephesians on the front. That's awesome. It's not about Ephesians, is it? Or no, it just says Ephesians on the front. That's awesome. Anyway, we're in Ephesians. That's cool. Confirmation. So last week we talked about mystery, the mystery revealed, the mystery of unity of believers in the church, and I want to talk today about we're going to be in 3, starting in 14. I want to talk about Paul's prayer. I want to look at Paul's prayer, and I want to kind of step into Paul's prayer. I want to let Paul pray for us, so to speak. I want to join in Paul's prayer. And there's this amazing the power of unity and the power of our connection through the Holy Spirit, and some of I'm not going to re-preach last week's message, but if you want to hear it, get it and listen to it. We're going to build on that a little bit today, but he goes through a whole bunch of things, but who Christ is in us and then who we are because of that. And then he says, because of all that, I'm going to pray. And then this is what he prays. So we're going to kind of dig into this a little bit and grab a hold of some things that are just, I feel like they're just so timely. And I was standing here this morning and Shelley said, there's an anointing for family. Is that what you said? Yeah, that there's an anointing for family this morning. And I said, oh, did you know what I preached on unity last week? And talking some more, a little bit about it. And then probably we will talk about it even some more as time goes on. Because actually, we're not even to the chapter on unity that's in Ephesians. We're going to get there. But yeah, we're working our way through that. And I do feel like, and maybe it's just because we're getting towards and into the holidays and family and all that thing is on our heart. And I feel like what's on our heart and mind is on his too. And so, or vice versa, however that works. So I know there's lights. You guys are looking at the lights. I can see you. There's a strand right in the middle that turns off and on. Yeah, I know. It will distract me as well. I think there's one over here that does the same thing. Yeah. So it's a test. It's an OCD test. See how focused you can be. Yeah, that's why I'm facing this way. All right, so we are in 3:14. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop right there, actually, and just kind of tie it into last week. There's a line we talked about in just before this in verse 10, 3:10, it's the manifold wisdom of God made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And the idea of last week's message and the first part of chapter 3 is that that God will be known through the unity of believers to the world. That Christ qualified us that God qualified us through Christ. Christ qualified us for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit makes us family. And our ability to be family is what's actually going to reveal the heart of God to the world. And so if we don't figure out how to be unified, if we don't figure out how to be family, how to love each other, how to interact in a healthy way, then we are actually not able to fulfill the Great Commission as we were created and put here to do. And so much so that Paul actually says that this is actually the purpose. This is actually the reason that Christ died on the cross, to connect you not just to him, but to each other. That you drink from the same Spirit, that you host the presence of God. And so the for this reason, that he starts off this prayer, for this reason I'm praying. This prayer is for the reason that we talked about last week, that you actually can live in unity. You actually can fulfill and walk through what it is that we can fulfill and walk through as a church, what it is that he's talking about. And it's important that we understand the context. The way Ephesians reads is really cool, that he's that Paul's like not very many other books of the Bible. He builds something very linear, I guess would be the right word. But he's building something, and this is for this, and because of that, this is happening. Because of that, this is happening. And the prayer is just like that. Because this needs to happen, because you guys need to be unified, because you guys, the power that you're meant to walk in, for that reason, I'm praying this, is introducing us to this. Are you guys with me? Are you guys all right? Okay. Just a minute. I'm going to grab us some water. Not us. I said us. You don't get any. It's just for me. I don't know where I'm. Okay. Where am I? Oh, yeah, I'm reading. That's what I'm doing. Oh, my goodness. At 15. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Man, we could just feast on that our whole lives, I think. There's so much good stuff, but I want to kind of work through and just look at some of it. In just reading around, I read something about praying for people that we care about, praying for people that we love. And if you study that first part where he says that I got down on my knees, there's this communication of his heart in the intensity of, and the importance of this prayer that I want us to connect with. The reason why I'm bringing it up, I want us to connect with, because today we're going to kind of end with the idea of I want to encourage you, maybe commission you, so to speak, to actually pray through, in your own words, to pray through this prayer that Paul is praying over yourself, over your church, over your family, over your community, over your, and the we learn so much from the way Paul is praying for the church that he loves, the church that he sacrificed everything to be a part of and to minister and to raise up. And it's I think if we get his heart in this, we can connect with it even more. Does that make sense? So he basically prays through three things that I want to kind of go through. The first in verse 16, so I'll read it again. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So he's praying for strength in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts. That word dwell is actually translated to be with or to live with. And there's actually a strong sense of comfort. That Christ would actually, it's translated in something, that Christ would actually be comfortable with you, or be comfortable in you, or be comfortable and make his home of comfort inside of you. And I had this thought that I wonder if... No, I had this thought that I wonder how often I make Jesus uncomfortable. I know, it's an honest one. I started thinking, I wonder how often I make him uncomfortable with either the way I think, or the way I speak, or the TV that I watch, or the whatever it is. Or how often do I bring him into a situation that he doesn't really want to be in, or he's not comfortable in, but that I'm putting there because he's committed to live inside of me? And there's a strength. I believe there's a strength of that Paul's praying for. To live in such a way to keep Jesus comfortable. That makes sense. Don't hear what I'm not saying, but there's actions, and there's a lifestyle, and there's choices that take an inner strength to choose to look away, to walk away, to disengage from a conversation, to the list goes on, but there's this inner strength that it takes to walk out a life that actually creates a home or allows God to Jesus to be in a place of comfort in your life. And this question was just going through. I kept going through this question, like, how, man, I wonder. And this new awareness. Remember, last week we talked about perception and how important perception is, and that truth actually becomes part of who you are when it shifts your perception. It shifts the way that you see. And when you see the world differently, then you interact with it differently. A lot of us know truth. We can quote truth. We can read out of Scripture. But unless it changes our perception, it doesn't actually create or change a lifestyle and shift us. And this question going on in my head was just beginning to change my perception of the way that I was interacting with the world. And maybe this is just not new to you guys, but it was just a new, the idea wasn't new, but the experience became new of like, wow, what places am I taking Jesus with me that I'm making him uncomfortable? For me, do you guys understand what I'm saying? Is this making sense? Maybe you guys just don't ever do that.
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
He's comfortable everywhere that I go. I mean, the things that we say and the even the way we look at people and judge people. And yeah, I mean, it just made this. It woke something up in this idea of owning how we interact and what we walk into and I don't necessarily, I don't want you to hear me wrong that I think we should isolate ourselves to only Christian movies and like, I'm only going to do Christian-y things. And I don't mean that. I mean, like, what are you actually engaging in? Not, you can't control the people around you, and that's not what I mean. I mean, what are you actually like engaged into? What conversations are we entering into? Are they conversations that we know and are aware that we're bringing Jesus into because he's there with us, in us? And with those situations, are we creating a place, a home that's comfortable? We need inner strength and courage to walk out that life. How many of you guys ever ridden in a car with somebody that didn't make you feel safe? How many of you were the person that was making the people in your car feel unsafe? Yeah. So, yeah. It's not okay to raise the hands of the people next to you. That's you. But it is true, yes. This was years ago. Shannon used to have a Geo Tracker. You guys remember Geo? The Geo Metro was like a three-cylinder engine. And then they had the Geo Tracker was like the heavy-duty four-wheel drive version. It literally, you could just push it over. Strong wind would blow it away. Anyway, we had a Geo Tracker. Shannon and I, first couple years we were married, and Shannon loved it. It was black, and it was like a go-kart. It was like a four-wheel drive go-kart with doors. Anyway, we're driving along, and we lived in a place called Orofino, and there's lots of deer, and this is over in Scott Valley. There's deer all the time, and she's telling me, you know, you're driving too fast. There's deer all the time out here. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. She was in that uncomfortable place, like, you're driving too fast. I'm letting you know I'm uncomfortable. You know, like how the Holy Spirit does. Like, I'm a little uncomfortable. We probably should slow down. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, deer all over the road. And so, because it was a go-kart, and I got some experience in a go-kart, I was like, and I missed all the deer. I swerved in between all these deer. I was so proud of myself, and I was like, yeah! That was amazing! Did you see that? And she's like... And so I get to the other side of this deer herd, and I'm celebrating my amazingness, and what a wonderful driver and I am. And of course I hit the gas because we had kind of slowed down through all this. And I hit the gas again, and we get about, I don't know, 200 yards down. But about when I get back up to about 45, 50 miles an hour, and there's one deer right in the middle of the road. And I bumped it. I didn't hurt the car. And then I look over and she's just... I should have listened. That was one of those uncomfortable moments that I took Shannon into. There's dozens and dozens of those, but that was one of them. I won't get too distracted. I tell you stories all day long about all those, but we have this obligation to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I realized as I grew up, that was probably, I don't know, 18 years ago, 16 years ago. But as I grew up, I realized, like, I need to actually listen to the voice, not just of the Holy Spirit, but the voice of my intelligent, cautious wife who's saying, there's deer everywhere. Ah, come on! Wah! And the wisdom and the stuff that comes through, not just my wife, but through the whole, of course, the Holy Spirit. And that we need to continually develop that inner strength and that open ear to when we're walking, is this where I'm supposed to be? Is the Jesus in me comfortable right here? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Is Jesus comfortable with this conversation? Is Jesus comfortable with this? I hesitate to mention movies, but I will mention them anyway. Is Jesus comfortable with this movie that I'm watching? Like, is this, or would he, if he could, would he stand up and leave the room? But he can't because he's committed to you. And are you forcing him into an uncomfortable situation that he wouldn't want to be in? I know that seems maybe more direct than you've thought about it, but I feel like it's real, and we have to acknowledge his presence inside of us in that way to change our perception. So reading on, the second thing he mentions is in the second part of 17, it says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. And this second thing that he's asking is basically that we would behold God's love at a spiritual level beyond our intellectual and our theological understanding. In verse 19, as you keep reading, it talks about to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And when I read that, I thought, how have I never thought this before? That how are we supposed to know something that surpasses knowledge? They're basically saying you need to know something that you can't know. It's past knowing. Are you with me? Is anybody else challenged by that? And I suggest to you or propose to you that the key to knowing what is unknowable is actually the first part of that sentence. It's being rooted and grounded in love. You guys want to hear another story? Oh, I got lots of time. Okay, I'll tell you another story. I've got a lot of stories of how stupid I was when I was a kid. And I've been a kid for a long time. But I was actually with Jason, Shannon's brother, and another guy. This is also when I was in the Valley, so I was probably in my early 20s. And we used to do this thing called tree swinging. Have I told you guys about tree swinging before? I think I mentioned, maybe I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. I was telling him about this thing we did. It's like tree swinging, just like I'm telling you guys now. And I said, that's great. You climb up these trees. Well, it's kind of like maybe about another third taller than that. So that's about 16 feet. So if you added about 8 feet or so to that, maybe about as, well, you can't even see the peak, maybe, but it's high as the peak in here. And you climb up in these trees, and they're real kind of flimsy, and you can play around in them. And they, a lot of times, at least that size, they grow real close together. And so, Annie, don't shake your head at me. Yeah, I'm trying to help you. So, you know, you sway back and forth, and you can reach over and grab the other tree. And yeah, then my mom's like, "Oh my gosh!" You reach over and grab this other tree, and you can climb it, and you can kind of work your way around at all these you know, juvenile trees. Yeah. I use that word intentionally. And so anyway, you're working there, and then when you get to kind of the end of the grove, that the trees are, they really are pretty flexible. And so you, if you get a good tree that has a lot of flex, you can actually kind of lean out and jump out and hold on to the top, and it'll bend all the way down and, you know, lightly, like Peter Pan, drop you right on the ground. That's true. I know you guys, has anybody ever done that before? Come on, yeah. No women are raising their hands. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm telling my brother-in-law this. I'm telling him, dude, it's awesome. It's all kinds of fun. He's like, that's stupid. And I go, no, I'll show you. So we're driving up. And what I hadn't put together until later on is that most of the time we were doing this, it was like springtime, midsummer, and the trees are really, you know, flexible. And it was about this time of year, actually, that we were kind of driving up. It's cold. And so there's this tree, and I'm like, oh, the tree's perfect. It wasn't perfect at all. It was way too big. It was probably about twice that high. It was probably 25 feet in there, 30 feet maybe. And so, but I'm like, you know, I want to prove my story. So I'm like, no, it's going to be awesome. He's like, oh, no. And then this other guy who was with me, who had normally would climb the tree with me, didn't. And so I'm like, no, I'll show you. So I climb up this tree, and I'm kind of rocking it back and forth. And I remember it being a big tree, like this big around at the bottom, tall tree. And so I'm leaning back. Have I told this story before in here? Oh. So I'm rocking back and forth, and like trying to get it, because you want to kind of get it so it's swaying, so it's over like this, and then you kind of throw your weight out and the whole thing kind of tips. And so I thought it was swaying far enough. And so I just kind of step off, and it didn't even bend at all. It just snapped right off the top. So of course now I'm about this far away from the trunk. So I'm kind of out here on this part of the branches. This part. It's about where I am. I'm about this far, right in here. And of course gravity's full on working, and I start falling, and I'm trying to kind of grab at the tree to slow myself down, and trying to stick my foot out. Well, of course, my foot hits, and I flip over, and I'm kind of tumbling down this tree, and then I do one full cartwheel, and then come back around again, and I think I grabbed a branch at some point, because I kind of swung in a little bit, enough to like smash into the tree a little bit, and then my foot went right between some branches. But I kept falling, and so then I'm hanging about 8 feet up on the tree, because my hands couldn't touch the ground, but I know I was close. And I'm hanging upside down by one leg, my ankle's like in this tree, and I can look out where the truck is parked, and my brother-in-law Jason is just laying on the road. It's just like a dirt road. He's just laying on the ground. Can't even walk. He's laughing so hard at me. And I'm like, dude, get me out. And I'm stuck. I'm stuck upside down, like trying to. No. And he's like, you need some help? That works great. That was perfect. You should do this more often. And, yeah. All that, I told that story. Because it's fun to tell, but I told that story because I was on the weak part of the tree. The strength, it's closer to the roots. The strength is down where the roots are. And I was not on that part of the tree. I was on the top, flimsy, breakable part. But the point is that we, in order to do what can't be done, in order to have the knowledge that surpasses knowledge, in order to understand and know something that can't be known or that can't be fathomed, we have to be rooted and grounded in that thing, in that love. And we went through the last 4 years, we went through a drought. seen lots of trees that have died off. I've got a couple on my property. I know you guys have been dealing, if you have any trees or property, we're losing trees all over the place because of that. And the root system, or where the roots have been, changed. The water that was there was no longer there, and then the roots basically couldn't get what they needed to survive. And us being rooted and grounded in love is realizing that what we need to survive isn't we draw from somewhere else. The idea of knowing what can't be known is the understanding that we draw from somewhere else. In John 15. In John 15, Jesus talks about, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Now, it's the branches that produce the fruit, but it's the vine, it's their connection to the vine that gives them what they need to produce the fruit. The fruit of, we are expected to walk in a knowledge that surpasses, to walk in knowing something that surpasses what we can know. How do we do that? The same way we produce fruit that we actually can't produce. Are you with me? We're expected to produce fruit that we can't produce as a branch. The branch can't produce the fruit. You cut the branch off of the vine, it doesn't keep producing fruit because it can't on its own. The same way with being rooted in love. If we're not rooted in love, if we don't have a, and not just rooted in love, but an understanding of the importance of the root, the importance of drawing nutrients from somewhere other than ourselves. If we don't understand the importance of that, then we try to just love people. I know I'm called to love people. I just need to love people. I just need to love people. I just need to try harder to love them. You're actually expected to do something you can't do unless you're pulling from somewhere else. Unless you're pulling, unless you're rooted and grounded in love. And what is, or who is, maybe love. Of course, God is love. It's our ability to root ourselves in the love of God that gives us the ability to know what we can't know. To love who you can't love. To treat people not the way that you can naturally treat them. You just can't. There's a reason why love is a fruit of the Spirit. Because it comes directly from your grafting into the vine. It comes directly from your ability to draw nutrients from a place other than your own self. Does that make sense? And yet we find ourselves, I'll say this. A tree needs more than just an encounter with good soil to survive. It actually needs to be rooted and grounded. It needs more than just an encounter with water, with nutrients. It needs a steady dose, a steady diet, a steady grounding. To do what can't be done, to produce fruit that you can't produce, and to love in a way, to know the love of God, to know what can't be known, we have to be rooted and grounded in that love. We have to realize that what we need is not from ourselves. No matter how hard you try, if your roots aren't in good soil, if you're not connected to the love of God, you have no way to love Him. It's kind of amazing. It's kind of this, it's a cyclical thing that we have this revelation of the need to draw from. You know, one of the things that we're doing, a foundations class on Sunday nights, and it's about getting into Scripture. And the idea of reading out of obedience, we've learned, is very important. Because as we look around the room, in this room, and of course this room as well, there's many people that have been reading Scripture for a good part of their life. 20, 30, 40 years they've been in Scripture. And to say that it's always out of love for Scripture would not be true. We realize that it's actually out of this. There's times when it's driven, like I've got to read because I've got to be obedient. But the idea that we only read Scripture out of obedience doesn't get us all the way there either. But the idea that the understanding that, like, I actually need to be rooted in love. And this book is a love story. I need to be rooted in the story and the understanding and the knowledge of who God is and what God thinks and how He treated His people over history. We have to find this root. And then, of course, through prayer and spending time and quality time and abiding and listening and a healthy branch does not survive with just an encounter now and then. It must firmly be grafted into the vine. A healthy tree does not survive with just an encounter with good soil. It remains rooted and grounded. I wish that, I don't know if that's the right word. It would have been great if Paul would have left us a detailed list of how to be rooted and grounded in love. He didn't. But he did tell us it's important. It's important for everything that you are created to accomplish. We've got to figure it out. We've got to figure out how to grab a hold of a relationship with God and pull nutrients out of that. And I can tell you that you won't have the motivation if you don't have the understanding. You won't be motivated enough without the perception that you need it, without the understanding that you need it. Does that make sense at all? Okay. You guys are right. The last thing in verse 19, reading again what we already read, but to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So after he prays all these things, he prays strengthen the inner man, Christ being comfortably dwelling within you, rooted and grounded in love, comprehending the width, length, depth, and height, and knowing the love that cannot be known. Oh, and by the way, fill them with the fullness of God. As if all those things were not so much. Fill them with the fullness of God. What's awesome about where this verse, this chapter ends, is the way he finishes this prayer. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to power that works in us. See, the cool thing about it is that all of these things that we listed, if you really start to look at them, you start realizing like that's amazing, but it seems impossible. And I want to tell you that it's intentionally that way. It's intentionally that way. It's intentionally beyond your grasp to do all of these things. Because God has created a relationship through Jesus Christ in that which we need Him. We need Him. We don't need Him just for salvation. Our relationship starts there, but we actually need Him for life. That the way we walk, the way we think, the way we process, our health is directly connected to our ability to root and to connect and absorb nutrients, so to speak, from our relationship with God. And what's awesome is that word that He's to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because I, if any of you are like me, the first thing I do when I read this, which is probably wrong, but it's the way my brain works, is how do we do that? How do I do that? How do I stay rooted? How do I strengthen my inner man? How do I make sure, and there is some practical things of like, oh, I need to pay more attention and I need to listen and maybe I need to read Scripture more. So there's practical things. But that understanding, the fact that I go there, is actually already sets me on the wrong foot. Because it's not about what I can do. It's about what He can do. It's about creating room for Him in my life, in my mind, in my heart. And so I backed up and I said, okay, what then is my responsibility? And it's room. How much room do I give? I get more busy working for Him than I do spending time with Him. It's part of, I don't know, the way my brain works. I want to do stuff. I want to build stuff. I talked about building last week. I want to do stuff. I want to build. I want to see. But there's this calling to abiding, and it doesn't mean we sit around all day and don't accomplish anything. That would be the pendulum swinging back the other direction. But there's this balance of realizing that if we're going to do what it is that the first three chapters are pointing at, if we really believe that a world revival, I know that's a huge term, but the idea that the world is getting more saved, that more people are getting an encounter with God than are walking away from God, that's what I mean, that direction. To move that direction, I believe, is wrapped up in this group of verses. Our ability to be unified, our ability to connect, not just with the people that agree with us and the people that go to church with us, but the entire body of Christ. The people that share the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The people that call Jesus Lord and Savior. Our ability to connect, to love, and do the things that, again, a lot of what we talked about last week and what we're going to talk about a little bit later, in unity and to walk in unity. I ended last week by saying, what if we were a group of people that realized that the destiny of the planet rested in the people that are around you, the believers that are sitting next to you and maybe more importantly, across the room from you and across town from you? How much more important would this feel, this prayer of like, God, this has to happen? And what I want to leave you guys with is that let's pray this for ourselves. Let's pray this for ourselves. Let's keep it on our lips. Because if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Pray that He strengthen our inner man. That He would give us strength to live in such a way that that Jesus would feel comfortable dwelling in me. Dwelling in us. Dwelling in our midst, both first, of course, personally, but corporately. That we would learn and cultivate our ability to be rooted and grounded in love. That we would learn and He would expand our ability to comprehend the width and length and depth of His love. And to know the love that cannot be known. And then be filled with the fullness of God. Amazing prayer. And what's awesome is it ends in, after the abundantly above all that we could think, according, that it's according to the power that works in us. It's not out there, it's in here. It's not, the revival isn't going to happen out there. It's going to happen in here. It's going to happen here. All of these things, they happen in here. And when they happen in here, it changes. In here, it changes out there. But it's the power that works in us. It's in this place. That's why He starts off, strengthen the inner man. Like this. Strengthen our capacity to carry the things that we can't carry unless we're rooted in love. That makes sense? And don't jump out of trees. All right. Will you guys stand with me? It's been just a couple days that I've been writing this down. But I would really encourage you to read through that prayer. Put it in your own words. Grab a hold of the ideas. How many of you guys are on our our email. You get our weekly email. I'll ask it this way. How many of you don't get our weekly email and you actually do email? If you don't do email, then we don't do pigeons or anything like that. So, if you want to get our email, you should be getting our email. Aaron writes up a great synopsis? Is that notes? On the message, and if you miss it, it's a great way to stay current with what's going on in the direction. And I can tell you from reading every week that all this stuff will be in there. So it's on Facebook, goes on Facebook too. So stir it up. Don't walk out of here and think like, oh, that was great, and forget about it tomorrow or tonight or whatever. Like, grab a hold of this thing. I believe that if we become a group of people that are praying this stuff through, and praying that this is who Paul was praying for the church to be then, is still who we're praying for the church to be now. We're still becoming who we're called to become. And we will continue until the goodness of God completely covers the earth. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for Paul. What an amazing man that you just changed his life. You changed the direction of his life. A hateful, hurting man. You just interrupted that. And we just thank you, Lord. And we thank you for his writings. And we thank you that he co-labored with you. And Lord, we just grab a hold of everything that this prayer is. This prayer that he prayed over the church all those years ago. And we just grab a hold, Lord, that you would strengthen our inner man. You'd strengthen our heart to receive and carry truth and love. That you would teach us to be rooted and grounded. That you would awaken the perception, deepen and awaken the perception that we need you. That we need to draw from you every day. Yeah, I pray that you would just expand our ability to understand depth and width and height and length of your goodness and your love. And Lord, I just pray that you'd fill us with the fullness of God. Whatever that looks like, Lord, will you just fill us with the fullness of God? And I pray that you'd remind us to turn towards you. You'd remind us to pull from you. Don't let us get too busy. Don't let us get distracted. Remind us.